Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord, we bless you and praise you, Father, that you are attentive to the cry of your people, that you desire, Lord, to dwell in the midst of your people, Lord. When you gave the design to Moses, Lord, you said that the point of it was that you would dwell betochem, that you would dwell in the midst of your people, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that through Yeshua we can have absolute intimacy with you, Father. We can receive forgiveness for sins and be whole. You could change us from the inside out, God, and I thank you for that, Father. And I pray, Lord, that part of the ministry, Lord, of preaching the word, Lord, that you would come into this place, Father, that you would make yourself known, Father, that you would bring to mind, Lord, anything that I've missed, that you would strike anything that is against what you would have your people know, Lord. Indeed, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would open the hearts of your people to receive the words that you have for them. May you make their hearts good ground, O God. We come against the enemy who has no authority in this place to confuse your people, has no authority to distract your people, Father. Give your people eyes to see and ears to hear your word, O God, that we can press in, Father, not just with the things that we think sounds good to our flesh, Lord, but may we hear with spiritual ears, O God. May the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the God of Israel, become greater. May the name of Eduardo become less. Amen. Amen. Rabbi Mark gave a slamming message the past 2 weeks, celebrating the Jewish Messiah in his worldview. Where he spent 2 weeks looking at the life of Yeshua and the way Yeshua saw the world. And it's important that we understand who Yeshua the Messiah is. Amen. If we can be so easily deceived with who Yeshua is, what other things are we missing? What other aspects of his word have we missed? What other aspects of the words of Moses have we missed? What other aspects of the words of Joshua have we missed? What other aspect of the words of the prophets and the apostles and the emissaries of Yeshua have we missed? What words have we missed in the epistles of Yeshua, of Yeshua's emissaries and Yeshua's disciples? Amen. For us to understand Yeshua, like Rabbi Mark shared, we need to step into the world of Yeshua. We need to see the world the way Yeshua saw the world. And it's not as simple as just what's on the black and white page. We need to allow the context of God's word to speak to us. I don't plan on going long today. The Lord didn't plan it for it to be long, but I consider this a crash course in reading aspects of Scripture. I want us to be more mature in understanding God's word. I want us to be able to go inside of God's word and see it for what it says and pick apart what it is to make sense of the whole thing. My goal and my plan is that we don't need a messianic translation to bring out the Jewishness of the New Testament. Messianic translations are good. I like messianic translations. But I should be able to tell you from the NASB, the ESV, the King James, the New King James, I should be able to explain to you the Jewishness of the New Testament from plain English. This is God's desire. The apostles didn't have the CJB. The apostles didn't have the TLV. They understood the text for what it meant because they knew the languages, they knew the context, they knew the history. Brothers and sisters, this is what God wants for us as well. We all don't have to go to seminary. We all don't have to become preachers in that respect. But for ourselves to be able to hear God's word and know what God is saying, we need to be able to understand and take that time and step into the history of the times of Yeshua. There's another important person that we miss very often, which we have the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, but we also have the Jewish Apostle Paul. See, the title of this message is Understanding the Jewish Apostle Paul in His Worldview. Many times we talk about the Jewishness of Yeshua, the Jewishness of Yeshua. Yes, Yeshua was a Jew. He was a rabbi. He was a good Jewish boy of his day. But let's not forget the Jewishness of those that followed him, and let's examine that a little bit. Amen. Paul's not the runt of the group. You ever have two cats that have babies and you get a whole bunch of kittens and one of them or two of them are kind of really weak and small? Paul's not that cat. All right? Paul is the big dog. Paul says of himself, I was born at an unopportune time. I was born at the wrong order. Paul is the head of many of the apostles. And we know this because God uses Paul to give us most of the New Covenant writings, most of the Brit Chadashah. So if you don't understand Paul, you're probably going to mess up most of the New Testament, most of the New Covenant, most of the Brit Chadashah. But it says we need to understand Paul. It's very important. Amen? When Paul is on the road to Damascus and he has a letter in his hand from the high priest to bring all of those who were followers of the way, followers of Yeshua, and bring them in for questioning, to hold them captive, to take them away. He has a letter in his hand. He's on the road to the way to Damascus. Then a bright light shines before him. He falls off of his horse. Yeshua knocked Paul off his high horse. And he fell on the ground. He becomes blind. Can't see. Yeshua has a conversation with him. Later on, the Lord appears to Ananias and tells him of Paul. And this is the weight of Paul. This is the weight of the words of Paul because Yeshua ordered it so. The Lord said to Ananias of Paul, of the Jewish apostle, go, for he's my chosen instrument to bear my name before the Gentiles, the nations, and kings, and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Brothers and sisters, if we miss Paul, we miss it all. You could have Yeshua completely correct, but if you miss what God has done in the revelation of Paul, as Paul breaks down the scriptures, you can twist things up. And that's not just for Paul, that goes for James. That goes for Peter. That goes for the Gospels. That goes for all of Scripture, brothers and sisters. We could probably spend years doing messages, examining the biblical authors and their worldview. Am I right, Rabbi Mark? Oh, man. Absolutely. We could spend years doing that. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable teaching for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. When it says that it's inspired, right? All scripture is inspired. When it speaks of inspired scripture, it's Baruch Elohim. It means Esteanustas in the Greek. It means God literally breathed into himself these words, and these words are life. When God formed you as a human being and he took you from the dust of the earth and he formed you, God breathed his breath inside of you. So too, God in his word, he breathed his life into his words. This is why his words are not just, it's not an instruction manual. It's not going to teach you how to build up your Legos with your kids. It's not that you shouldn't put sugar in your gas tank. It's not that you should inflate your tires to 34 PSIs. It's not about the mundane things of the world. It's the depth of God's word. It speaks to your very soul. Amen? And God breathed into his word. God spoke into it so that if we miss who Paul is, as God is using Paul to convey his truth, we're going to miss what God is trying to say to us today. If we miss what Paul meant back then, we're going to miss what he means today. Amen? If we miss what Yeshua meant when he was speaking in the world of Yeshua, we're going to miss Yeshua today. So no, this is not going to be that same feel-good message. It's not going to be the same message about change your life, repent. But do change your life and repent. I would want to say that. But also, in the point of changing and repenting and becoming more like Yeshua, becoming more like the disciples, we need to understand the disciples. We need to understand their world and how they saw it. Amen? Does anyone think that Paul's writings are difficult? You're not alone. If you think his writings are difficult, come to our Bible studies. We make them more difficult. Help us out. We do just fine getting into pretzel knots by ourselves. Even Peter says it. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom God gave him, he wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand. Peter was being nice. Which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Brothers and sisters, if you distort what God is saying, if you distort his reality, if you distort his God-breathed word, I can promise you that your life will fall apart. If you distort what it means, if you distort what God is trying to convey in the history that he gave it, you have no idea what he's saying to you today. Amen? When the Lord formed Paul and set up a plan for him, and chose him to be his instrument. God saw that all of Paul's experiences, becoming a persecutor of believers, being raised up under Gamaliel, going through the history that he lived in, it was all used in order to convey God's absolute truth. I heard Michael Brown say this, and I thought it was interesting, about inspiration. You can think of inspiration as light going through a glass, a colored glass. The pure light beam is God's unfiltered revelation. As it goes through the glass, the light is going to split. Now we wonder, how can God control his inspiration if the light is going through the glass and then breaking and fracturing? What we need to understand, brothers and sisters, is the same one that's giving the inspiration is the same one who made the glass. Paul, and that's not my thought, that's Michael Brown. You could tweet him on Twitter or whatever to thank him. The reality is he formed not just the light, but also the glass so that he would get exactly what he wanted to get across to his people. So if we don't understand the glass, we're going to miss the inspiration as well. We're going to miss the unfiltered light of God, brothers and sisters. We need to understand the Apostle Paul. Amen? God doesn't do anything arbitrarily. So this is a message for you to think, how can I get more deeply in tune with the history of God's word? What was happening at the time when God spoke his word? What was the history of the world in the time of Paul? Do we even know? Do we even understand what was going on in the world of Paul? Rabbi Mark shared the date of Ezekiel, when he was prophesying. If you don't know when Ezekiel was prophesying, you have no idea what he's talking about. God is in control of all things. Romans 8:28, God works all things for good. Your bad experiences, your good things, your bad things, the good things that Paul did, the bad things that Paul did, God is orchestrating them together because Paul is God's chosen vessel in order to bring his good news, not just to the nations. We always teach Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Yes, he's that, but he also is a light unto Israel, as we read earlier. First place that Paul went to was the synagogues, amen? He was a Jew of Tarsus. He knew Hebrew. He knew Greek. He would have known Aramaic. He had dual citizenship. He was a Roman citizen, and he was also a citizen of Israel. He had double citizenship. He would have been familiar with the Hebrew Bible that we know today, but he also would have been familiar with the Septuagint, which is the pre-Yeshua Greek translation. You ever read in your Brit Chadashah a quotation and then go try to find it in the Tanakh and the what's commonly called the Old Testament, and they don't match exactly word for word? It's because many times the New Testament, the New Covenant writers are quoting the Septuagint, which is the Greek version. They're not quoting the Hebrew version. So it gets a little bit of a different nuance. So it comes different in both spots where it's English. If you don't know that, you'll be completely confused and probably want to throw out your Bible because it doesn't make sense. We need to know the world of Paul. Amen? Not only that, Mark 7:5 talks about the traditions of the elders. This is more like a background. I want to give you guys a background. Paul would have known the traditions of the elders. The idea of washing your hands before you ate and making a blessing. The ideas that Yeshua was dealing with the traditions of the elders, Paul would have known. Not only would he have known the traditions of the elders, Acts 17 tells us that he knew the philosophies of the pagans. Because not only does he talk about the pagans and the pagan gods, he quotes their poets to them to bring out a truth of God. Brother said, did you know this about Paul? Anybody? Everybody? Somebody? Did we know this? You knew. All right, put a star next to Rabbi Mark's name. This is just something for you to chew on, right? That I believe God wants us to take a moment, take a few minutes in this mini message to think about these things. Last week or the week before, I shared about the word namas. Who remembers what I said about it? About the word namas. What did I say? Well, so namas is one word, but it can be rendered many different ways. Were you going to say something? Yeah, you did know. You did know. And when he's using the word namas, which comes translated as law, it's not just law. It can mean teaching. It can also mean the Sinai covenant. It can mean God's overarching teaching. This is namas is the main word that Paul uses to convey the word Torah. But Torah is not just law, it's also teaching. It's a constitution. It can be a legal decree. It can be a law. It can be a judgment. When Paul is using the word namas, it's the same thing. It could be law. It could be a principle. There is a Torah of life and death. It can be a principle of life and death. Gravity is a Torah. It is a principle. It is a law that exists in the real world. And we need to understand that the way we're navigating these things makes all the world of difference. And this is why many times these messianic translations get it wrong. Because they want to make namas every time it pops up as Torah. But it doesn't work. Does that make sense to everybody? When we're reading God's word, we need to look at the whole context. Do we do that? So if you picked up your NASB 1995, which is my personal favorite translation, and you opened up to Romans 10:4, it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Christ is the end of the Torah, we would have this be. Who believes that Christ is the end of the Torah? You, Naja? No? Happy birthday. So on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? The word that's used there for end is the word telos in the Greek. If you don't know Greek, I get it. That's fine. In Paul's day, Paul knew Greek, though. And Paul knew the Hebrew. Telos doesn't just mean end. It can mean end, but it doesn't just mean end. If you open up that NASB, it also means goal. When we look at what Paul is writing in the book of Romans, we have to look at how the word was used before Paul used it. That word telos is used in 2 Samuel 15:7 as the end. Now it came about at the end, the telos of 40 years. But if you go to Deuteronomy 31:24, it says it came about when Moses finished writing the words of this law in a book until they were complete. The word complete is telos in the Septuagint, which is the Christian Tanakh, pre-Christian Greek translation, pre-Yeshua Greek translation. It would have been one that Paul would have known. So when using telos, it can mean end, but it also means the completion. Let's not miss that. See, if you were looking at it in just the Hebrew without having the framework for Paul's world of the Greek Septuagint, the Greek Tanakh, then you would miss that point altogether that Messiah is not the end of the law, but he is the completion of the Torah. The way when Moses read all the words of the book of this law, and he read them to his people until they were ended, until they completed, until they disappeared. No, it was until they were brought to its culmination. Amen. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all this assembly, Deuteronomy 31:30. All the words of this song until they were completed. Does it mean that those words don't apply to us? Does it mean that those words disappear? When Moses read the words until its completion, does that mean that it has no relevance for the people right after he said them? If you go to a modern Hebrew New Testament, it says that Paul is that Yeshua is the tachlit of the Torah. See, when poor us, we speak English, right? English just doesn't have that ability to convey the depth of the words that are in these ancient languages. It's a very shallow language, English. It can express fine points, but it can't express nuances. English has a very hard time with nuances and things like that. Tachli is used as the end when we say the Odam Olam prayer. When we say that the Lord is bli tachlit, he is without end. But in Psalm 139:22, it says, the psalmist is saying, I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. The word utmost there is tachlit. It is, I have hated them with a complete hatred. It's not a hatred that has ended. It's a hatred that has been fulfilled and brought to its culmination. It's its wholeness, brothers and sisters. If we had Paul's worldview, we wouldn't fall into a belief that God's Torah is not applicable to us. That God's word doesn't speak to us. Amen? Rabbi Mark's message in sharing about Yeshua and his worldview spoke to our lives that we need to embrace the traditions of Yisrael. And I want to share to you what Paul's thoughts were about the traditions of the people. In Judaism, even in modern Hebrew and in the traditional world, tradition is called the Mesorah. Anyone ever heard that word? All right, the Tanakh doesn't even use it. Doesn't exist. You know how I know? Because I looked for it and I couldn't find it. There is no word for that Mesorah or tradition that existed in the times of the Tanakh. That word is not there. It doesn't exist because in the Tanakh times, they didn't view the movement of the prophets or the movements of the kings as something that was a tradition that was optional to buy into. But they also didn't believe that everything every person spoke was applicable to every single kingdom or every single place at every single time. When God gives his Torah, he said his Torah is binding. But let me tell you something. If you're a woman, you're not participating in the laws of menstrual purity. If you're a man, you're not going to participate in that because it doesn't apply to you. If you're not a Kohen, it's not going to apply to you. There are aspects of the law that we need to relate to, but it doesn't close it up. Amen? Does that make sense? But Paul in his day is dealing with tradition as well. But not in the sense that we think about tradition in 2021. Paul, as he's establishing leaders in different communities all over, he's speaking to the Romans, he's speaking to the Thessalonians, he's speaking to the Colossians. He's establishing his rule of authority over them and what they should do and what they shouldn't do and what he's enabling them to do. In their language. The only time we have the word tradition used in the Tanakh in English is in that passage in Isaiah. We can go down to it. Then the Lord said, because his people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they've removed their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of traditions learned by rote. You know what that word for tradition is? Mitzvah. But Paul is dealing with the world and he's establishing communities. And you know what's different about Paul's world versus the world of Ezekiel? Ezekiel is not speaking to multiple nations about how to rule themselves or how to govern themselves. Paul is speaking about the Jewish people, the natural branches, and the people who are the not natural branches from the nations coming together. This is where tradition comes in. This is where the establishment of the authority of leaders and shepherds comes into play. For Paul, it was important that he gave the authority to them to establish what would be normal for them. There are traditions that Paul passed over to certain communities that we have no idea what they were. You have two options. You can believe that either Paul gave traditions that the whole body of Messiah needs to participate in, which you're going to have trouble with this passage, because he never tells us what those traditions are. What does that mean? That means that Paul established certain traditions for the Thessalonians that he didn't give to anybody else. I want to read to you 2 Thessalonians 2. It says, so then, brethren, stand firm and hold to traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. That means Paul spoke certain things to the Thessalonians that we don't have recorded in the book of Thessalonians that they were obligated to do because Paul established that for them. What does this mean, brothers and sisters? This means that we too have shepherds who God has spoken to and through to establish practices and normal practices as the Holy Spirit leads us to participate in. And it doesn't mean that our traditions and the way that we do it is for the whole entire body of Messiah. There are going to be people that don't do things the way that we do it. But we have here that Paul establishes the principle of creating traditions and normal rules of practice for certain communities that aren't applicable for the Romans. It's not applicable for the Corinthians. It's not applicable to the other ones that he's writing to. We have a biblical foundation for establishing norms in this house that might not be applicable to the First Baptist Church down the road or the non-denominational church on the other side of Bethlehem. Paul says, be imitators of me just as I also am of Messiah. Paul established these normal practices in specific communities for specific reasons that we have that same authority to follow him in that as shepherds. So if we embrace Paul's worldview, this is the conclusion that we would come to as we participate in the things that Paul would have participated in. We think about what Paul was thinking about. We think about what Paul was saying. Amen? Let's pray. Vino Malkenu, Father King, Lord, I bless you and praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you speak truth to your people, Lord. May you open up our eyes to see depth in your word, Father, and to see the world, Lord, that the biblical authors function in, Father. Because if we see their world, Lord, then we can see how your word applies to us. In Yeshua's name, amen.